Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, though, we primarily discuss YouTube and online video in general, so I guess be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, as of recording, the YouTube record for the music video by a solo artist with the most views in 24 hours is held by none other than Taylor Swift, with her new single, Me, getting 65.2 million views in the first day. With that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
And I'm Alex Wade.
And it's such a nice day out today. It's wonderful. Spring has finally sprung.
Yeah,
I'm very happy
too.
About it.
Yeah, it's good. Unfortunately, it means I have to buy a new air conditioner because mine's trash. But you know what? It's going to be great.
I have AC in the new apartment that I am moving to in a month, which is great. But it also means I need to figure out what to do with the air conditioner that I bought last year.
Give it to me.
I'm not going to mail you an air conditioner.
Oh, come on. It's only like $100 maybe.
How much would it cost to mail an air conditioner from Chicago to New York? Anyway,
today's episode is about package pricing.
Yes, yes. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. Oh, we're having our night like hard pivot into sponsored content for stamps.com. but our question today that we are going to discuss is YouTube a genre?
Ooh.
Yeah, think about that one. Why don't you?
Yeah. In this question, we're going to try to explore just kind of general YouTube and how it's different than, you know, the normal run-of-the-mill TV or movies or something.
Yeah. So I guess maybe to take a step back, the thing that got me thinking about this as a question and this as an idea in the last couple of months, I've been watching a lot of videos from the YouTuber ContraPoints, which is a wonderful, wonderful channel that I 1,000% recommend to anyone. But she does like leftist political philosophy videos talking about things like the philosophy of climate change and extinction of the species, and yeah, about like the philosophy of gender and the philosophy of the alt-right and stuff like that. But unlike what you would see in a lot of the other like sort of leftist YouTube sphere, which I actually didn't know about until I found ContraPoints, and then she like wears big, bold, bright costumes and has like crazy lighting and elaborate sets and plays multiple characters who are like in dialogue and arguing against each other, and like makes a lot of like off-color jokes, and it's a very like, it's weird, I guess, but it works. And that sort of got me thinking more about like, this is the kind of fucking banana shit you would not see in any other media form, but you do see it on YouTube, like 30-minute leftist philosophical videos where you have like a woman dressed up in insane Victorian costumes arguing with a woman dressed up, the same woman, but dressed up as a cat. And it works. And that, I don't know, that got me thinking about like, why does it work? What does it mean that this fits in so well with YouTube and like feels like a YouTube video? And I don't know. So a lot of thoughts swirl off of the existence of ContraPoints as a successful YouTuber.
Yeah. Just the kind of general feeling of like, oh, does this feel like, I feel like that's kind of central to this whole topic of like, does it feel like a YouTube video is a fascinating, I think, concept. Because like, imagine YouTube videos from where did YouTube videos start from? Like,
oh, YouTube was founded, I think, in 2006. And I think it got bought by Google in 2007.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 05, 06.
So like before that, people just made what, like home videos, and they put them, sent them into America's Funniest Home Videos. And that was, you know, one of the weird ways that you saw these short little pieces, or you had like prank shows like Pranked or different things like that were like sketch comedy or weird, crazy shit that you just don't really have a descriptor for, that could never run on that could never be like put in front of a producer and said, hey, I want to make this. And they'd be like, the hell are you talking about? These are two sock puppets like having sex. That's weird.
So I guess I'm really interested by that thing that you said earlier at the beginning of that around like, this feels like a YouTube video. Are there things that to you feel like YouTube videos? Like, what makes something feel like a YouTube video to you?
I'd say, first of all, timing. The things that feels most YouTube is shorter, obviously, like 3 minutes to 7 minutes. I feel like it's a good, you know.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay.
Maybe that's just my impression right now. I don't watch a lot of YouTube.
No, totally. Go roll with it. Keep going. I'm really curious about this.
But I'd say, I guess originally my impression of YouTube video, like when it first started or when I first started watching or whatever, was just more its randomness and chaos. And like, it was the wild, wild west. It was like E-Bomb's World or Newgrounds or Homestar Runner, where it's this weird internet thing. I guess that's what it is. It's not, it doesn't feel like a YouTube video. It feels like an internet video. Cause like E-Bomb's World or Newgrounds or all those things I mentioned, Homestar Runner, those things all feel quote unquote like a YouTube video. But that's not the word I want to use, because I guess YouTube has just replaced my common vocabulary for a video online, right? So I'd say kind of this random nature to it is crucial to a YouTube video. Experimental, trying to break boundaries. Usually, that's what it used to be. Now YouTube videos, there's a sense of like, I get my biggest impression of YouTube video is kind of like a personality. Like, I don't know, Logan Paul or these people who are famous because they're famous and that's how they make their money. And they make 10-minute long YouTube videos about their lives and about doing crazy, weird shit. And it's just kind of its own social media platform to some extent. And there's still like classic amazing stuff that's like CGP Grey, which has been, you know, a staple for years of YouTube, or other things like that, of Kirkazot, or other these educational things, or, you know, people who've been around forever.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many different like spider webs of directions that I want to follow.
Yeah, that's the issue with YouTube, is it's so many different things.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in one thing that I want to get back to, but to start off with, I'm really curious about that like distinction between YouTube and or online video back then versus the YouTube of now. And actually, now that I think, so to your point, what you were talking about earlier, you did mention that like length is one thing that comes to mind, of like a YouTube video to you feels like 3-7 minutes thereabouts.
Yep.
I think that is interesting to me, because I feel like that's something that's changed a lot since the early days of YouTube versus now, that like, again, ContraPoints, her videos are 30 to 45 minutes long. And she's a very successful YouTuber. Most like Logan and Jake Paul videos and most vlogs that you see now are like 10 to 12 minutes. Yeah. You'll see even like Tonight Show videos that are like 7 to 10 minutes.
So I think something about, I guess, videos getting longer over time, when at the inception of YouTube, you had, you know, people just putting shit out on the internet and just kind of vomiting it out there in a sense, I from my perspective. And that is why people made it only very short videos, because they didn't want to put an effort to make a longer long form video. But as time went on, YouTube kind of became, you know, less a platform and more of a business. Geared towards, you know, they started creating algorithms for determining like, oh, what do people like? What do people want to watch next after they watch this? How can we best monetize this with different sorts of ads and stuff like that? And I think that kind of added in a sensibility of like, oh, this is something we can really make money off of. So now that kind of spread out the possibilities of like, okay, what's some market that we haven't tapped into yet that we can go into? It's like for example, you're dueling debaters. that's not the name of it at all. Counterpoints. Channel is 30 minutes long, and I'm sure before they created that, they looked into it and being like, okay, what are other things that are like this? How can we make it different? How can we make it unique?
Interesting.
And I think part of the reason why there has been more different content spawned from YouTube is the fact that money can be made.
That's actually really interesting, the bringing up the idea of the algorithm, because now that I think about it, I was reading some articles about like, oh, here's, you know, profiles of what it's like to be in YouTube and the fact that how does YouTube deal or not deal with its like extremism problems and radicalization problems. But it talked about how the like the YouTube algorithm in, I think I want to say 2012-ish, shifted towards really really being geared towards increasing watch time on site. Like that was their primary metric that they were focused on. And so my guess is that to me rings to be around the time when I remember starting to see more YouTube videos that were longer, as opposed to those early ones of like, oh, you want to make a video that's less than 3 minutes long because you want your video to be able to go viral and no one's ever going to sit through a 3 minute video. So obviously you want to make like, whether or not that was part of the algorithm or not, that was the common conceptual wisdom at that time. Sure. Whereas it feels like around that time was when I started seeing videos like, you know, CGP Grey videos started getting longer. PBS Idea Channel had their like 10 minute long videos. And now to the point where you regularly will see 10, 12, 30, 40 hour long. One video that I watched 2 years ago that was a 3.5 hour long video all about the Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's very good, but it was also 3.5 hours, so I had to watch it over the course of multiple days. But that, my guess is there's a degree to which that's part of that feedback loop where YouTube starts optimizing for time spent on site. As part of optimizing for time spent on site, probably the algorithm starts picking up videos that are longer, probably also videos that are longer but are getting people to watch all the way through. Content creators pick up on this and start making more longer videos, and then we keep spiraling on until like, yeah, now a good chunk at least of my YouTube is in that like 10 to 20 minute sphere.
I mean, I also just kind of branch off of just the algorithm itself and like this concept of, oh, YouTube as trying to make money versus trying to have cool content, if that makes sense. Like, yes, obviously better content helps, you know, make more money. What I'm trying to say is that in the original Wild Wild West of YouTube, you had originality beyond anything you could possibly imagine. Like, ideas came from nowhere, versus now it's a very clear, like, okay, I have a high production, you know, company who is making a YouTube video. Like, let's do marketing and research and trying to figure out what we're going to be doing here. You know, kind of like the movie industry and stuff like that. And yes, of course, there are new good movies and there is new good content on YouTube. But I think the concept of like, oh, we have money now, changes things for the worse.
Yeah, I could see that. It reminds me of a talk Dan Harmon gave at XOXO back in like 2013, I want to say, all about how like, yeah, money ruins everything in art, which it's fun. It's a fun little video. I like that you bring it back towards thinking about the algorithm more broadly and thinking about the algorithm then in terms of like, how can we be able to make more money? And if we're going to invest more in YouTube, how can we make sure that we're doing things that will get us the most bang for a buck? But even taking a further step back into thinking about the algorithm, I wonder if like there's an argument to be made that the YouTube algorithm is the single most influential force on what like the stylistic conventions and the artistic conventions that YouTube videos have at any given point in time.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're making something for money and this is the thing that determines how much money you're going to be making, then yeah, absolutely. It is the factor that is like, okay, let's try to figure out how to game this system so that we can, you know, get our video on the suggested next video for us to watch, you know?
Oh,
that's very sad.
I was going to say that's so fucking cool in like an intellectual way. Maybe not in terms of real, but like think about like, again, taking a step back, every genre, every style of art is like influenced by things like constraints that are in its life. So like, oh yeah, you'll, you know, look at Shakespeare plays and there's a difference between the kind of plays that he wrote for the outdoor Globe Theater versus now they moved into an indoor theater that had lighting. All of a sudden Macbeth comes up and they have like witches and lighting effects and storms and stuff like that. So like there are concrete things that influence art and influence artistic genres all the time. But usually those are like forces of nature, forces of the economy, forces of like politics, forces of taste and blah, 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 all that stuff. This is one of the first times where there's like, it's like an algorithm.
Really human.
It's like, it's a thing that people still built, but it's like, that is the thing that is defining what, putting the constraints that guide art.
Yeah.
And might be the first time that's ever happened.
And I think it's bad because the explicit, I guess, foundation of artificial intelligence and algorithms is like, oh, looking on what has worked and succeeded in the past. And it's the originality isn't based off of, like, if something is different, then that's not good for the algorithm, right? Like, fundamentally, that's just, it's bad to be different.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that idea that, like, by definition, we're going to move towards a degree of sameness. By virtue of like the always look back nature of the algorithm, in particular, given that
it's probably more complicated than that.
Like it's that, yeah, maybe that's part of what it is. Cause like, I'm also thinking about like, okay, again, to keep returning back to where you have your CGP grades, I have my ContraPoints. To keep returning back to ContraPoints, it's like, where in the algorithm would it say that this is what's going to be successful? And maybe the algorithm is more complicated than I thought it would be. And so there's elements of what ContraPoints is doing that you could tie back to things that worked before of like, yeah, she's playing off of an already popular YouTube subgenre of like leftist political things, but doing things in a like more visually eye-catching way. So maybe she has better thumbnails, so it's easier for her to be able to, get eyeballs or blah, blah,
maybe
blah.
Maybe the algorithm has hampered her success. Maybe she could be a lot more successful if she didn't have 30-minute long videos about leftist bullshit.
Interesting. That is an interesting take to have. I don't know. I mean, I feel I'm very skeptical of the idea that the YouTube algorithm drives towards sameness. In particular, I think part of it may have to do with the like weird fickle nature of human beings, that at the end of the day, what the algorithm is judging on is both what has worked in the past, but like what are people actually watching and what actually works for people, and people are weird and people are complicated. And so like the thing that worked yesterday is all of a sudden going to stop working because someone was bored by it. So I get your point that there's danger in following the algorithm blindly. Especially given that no one actually knows what the algorithm does, including the people who made it, because yay, machine learning. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to stop talking for a second if there's anything else that you want to say, because I was just ranting for a bit.
Not on my head, mine, no.
So this is actually making me think now. I don't know why I didn't put this together until now, but I saw like 2 days ago a tweet that was, hey, open up your YouTube, like logged into your account, and see like what are the things that are popping up on your recommended for you page. And I'm going to do that right now. And I'd be curious if you did as well.
Yeah, I want to give a caveat here of I feel like I watch very specific things on YouTube.
I think that'll make that way more interesting.
But they're from a long time ago. So it's like this is what I used to watch.
Okay, cool.
But then now it's actually changed. Oh my God, they have videos here? I can buy.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So headliners for me are, let's see, Daily Show about Pete Buttigieg.
Mm-hmm.
Some gaming video of Risk of Rain 2, Bernie Sanders, SpaceX, something about Game of Thrones, Kirkazot, a Hollywood FX, another Mayor Pete, Tessa Violet, SNL, crazy Japanese game show.
Dope.
Yeah. So actually, all my stuff from like that used to be my recommended stuff, because that when I last checked on this is no longer there. Like I used to have like a lot of EDM music stuff.
Mm.
Weird.
By contrast, for mine, I have some tech videos. I have a lot of cooking videos. Bon Appetit, Brothers Green Eats, BuzzFeed Tasty, a lot of music, Charlie Bliss stuff, some like country music stuff, two Little Boots videos, who's a synth pop musician from like 2009 who I really like, some Broadway stuff, and a couple like sort of think PC like literary criticism videos, which more or less matches, now that I think about it, with the kind of stuff that I watch on YouTube. Is that like I watch a lot of cooking, I watch a lot of music, I watch a lot of musicals, and then like every once in a while I watch like a video essay or a tech video.
Yeah, mine's pretty spot on for me, to be honest. I was surprised,
which is interesting. I think the other side of the algorithm to talk about is that like not only is there like this big global algorithm that like guides YouTube in general towards things, but like you and I have a very different YouTube experience. You go to the homepage and you see different videos than I see. You see different things in your recommended for you. In fact, let me just go to a incognito window. What do we have? Broken Galaxy Fold phones from MKBHD, a Taco Bell video, Britain's Got Talent, Conan video, a bunch of cat videos, some news, some movie trailers.
Yeah, I got like news and something about hardware. It's all very random.
That's really interesting to me that everyone has a different YouTube.
Yeah.
And I don't know that like deep, deep level of nicheness and personalization. I don't know what that does to YouTube as a genre or YouTube as like an art form.
Yeah. It's,
and I don't know if that's good or not.
It's weird. YouTube's crazy.
Yeah. And it's weird to think about, like, all of this comes down from one company. Like, one company has, especially now, like, you know, it's not the world of 2004 where you have, like, a lot of Flash animation sites and a couple people that do video in their own, on their own websites. Like, all of this comes down from design choices that a single company makes. And that defines what at least user-generated online video looks like.
Yeah, which is a bit too much power for my taste.
Yeah.
So I need to go to Vimeo.
Lol.
I started Vimeo. Seeing advertising for them.
What a time to be alive.
Which has been interesting, yeah.
What are the Vimeo ads say?
It's just like, hey, here's another service. It's very simple, like posters and billboards being like, oh, we can host your video. I'm like, that's it. It's like, cool.
Also, the thinking about it, like, In my head, I have like an idea of what a Vimeo video is, which is different from a YouTube video.
They're usually more elegant.
Like I think of Vimeo as primarily a place for like short films and people's like acting and directing and editing reels. Like that's what Vimeo is to me.
It's a place where you host a video if you want to share the link with someone specifically.
Yeah.
Like there's no algorithm. There's no concept of that.
Yeah. Or even if there is, I mean, presumably Vimeo does have some sort of suggestion algorithm, but like that's not why you go to Vimeo. You don't go to Vimeo to find the next thing you want to watch. You go there because like there is a video that you have been linked to. Whereas like I will go to YouTube.com because like, hey, I want to watch something. And then we'll like pick something off of my recommendations or off my subscription list.
That's kind of what I guess a big issue of like just the generalness of YouTube in general. I think the concept of Vimeo is good and we need... We used to have curators, you know, and now there's this big push of getting content that is no longer curated by humans and is, you know, artificially intelligence curated that I think has its ups and downs. it's still trying to work it out. But I think for now, there needs to be a bigger push.
Dive into that a little more. Like what do you see as the ups and the downs?
Okay. So yeah, ups and downs of AI curated content. I'd say ups is obviously you can go find new content very easily based off of what you currently like. But I'd say downs of that is, how do I describe it? I have no idea what I'm trying to say. How about this? Do you have any ideas on ups and downs of AI curated content?
I mean, I think for me, I don't see any downsides to it in the like good version, if that makes sense. Like, I don't have any problems or concerns with YouTube or other recommendation algorithms gearing towards pointing me towards the things that like I think that I will like more. I don't mind the fact that I don't see any downside with the fact that my YouTube recommended page has like pretty much spot on exactly the kind of stuff that I would be interested in watching, or at least would be interested in watching now based on the trends of YouTube things that I've been watching over the last like 2 months. I think the problems that I see come from like on the margins. Like, it's a difference between, I don't have any problem with like increasing levels of radicalization in terms of which Charlie Bliss music video and live performance that I watch. Like, it's never going to go bad from there. The problem comes from like, oh, I'm going to watch one video about like responding to Jordan Peterson, which then means that all my suggestions are going to become Jordan Peterson videos. And then I start watching Jordan Peterson, and then it turns into Ben Shapiro, and then I watch Ben Shapiro, and it turns into like Milo, and then I watch Milo, and it turns into like fucking crazy far right Gamergate nonsense. Like, that, like, the problems are, to me, and maybe this is a naive view, but the problems to me are isolated to like specific types of things that can radicalize you in like really dangerous directions. It's not the recommendation path that is the problem. It's the fact that it's being applied to a dangerous area, an area that needs more nuance. But maybe that's a naive view that like, yeah, my YouTube means I'm going to be watching more extreme versions of recipe videos, more extreme versions of John Oliver videos. So like, yeah, maybe it's just that I'm in a different sphere and I'm taking a naive view to it.
I got one of ups of, in terms of for art and not really like radicalization, of you can find other popular things that you might also like, explicitly popular.
Yeah.
Downside of that is, well, you're not going to be discovering hidden gems that exist out there, versus if I was a curator of art, let's say your job was to be YouTube curator or whatever, right? And people could subscribe to you being like,
yeah,
I like what this guy watches. He can recommend me stuff. If I go and watch something that has 2K views and be like, hey, this is something really awesome that I discovered, show it around, right? And the theory of the AI algorithm is like, oh, that won't have 2K views. It'll get more views because it's good, right? Versus I just don't trust that concept of like, this thing will be good because, or this thing will get its views if it's good. I don't trust the algorithm to determine that.
Yeah, I think I 100% in agreement with you on the like on that side. I would say, though, my personal YouTube experience, at least, has been almost the opposite of, it's more likely for me that there's something super popular that, because I watch so much YouTube and my recommendations keep narrowing in on the things that I'm interested in, it's more likely that I'll be in a situation where I miss something super popular and am being suggested a like video that only has 1,000 views but is exactly within my niche. I've had more experiences of that than the opposite. Although, that being said, like, I don't know how many small videos I've missed because I've missed them. So YouTube's fucking weird, y'all.
Title,
yeah. I do like YouTube, though. I like I watch more YouTube than I do TV.
I mean, I used to watch more YouTube than I watch TV. Not anymore, though. For me, when I stopped really watching YouTube, first off, I never watched any recommended stuff. I only ever watched subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And then my goal would be to like, okay, I need to clear out my subscriptions, right?
Hmm.
And then I started subscribing to too many things and be like, oh my God, I have too many things that I need to watch. And that's just kind of when it stopped, because I was like, there's too much to keep up with, and I'm just doing this because I need to keep up and I don't need to do that.
This is a weird role reversal, because like back in the day when I'm hesitant to say this out loud because I mean someone might go and search for it, but when this used to be a YouTube show, before it was a podcast, like it was a YouTube show because you watched a lot of YouTube and I didn't really at that point in time.
It's changed.
It's changed, man. So I don't think we've done this in the last episode, or maybe we did. I don't know. I don't remember. But lightning round question. Not the lightning round question of is YouTube a genre? Because I think like, no, there's not really anything that holds any single thing that holds all of YouTube together anymore. But what did come up from this conversation is that like, as much as it could be considered a genre on art form, the algorithm is like the primary thing that drives it. So lightning round question, is the algorithm good for YouTube as an art form?
I'd say no, because anything that is centered around money and trying to making art that is centered around money is not good for the art form.
See, that's great, because that makes it like I love when we have the same assessment of the situation but come to different conclusions for it. So mine is yes, it is good. Well, radicalization aside, yes, it is good. For the exact same reason that like I'm actually very interested in how like commerce influences art, and I think like that is a cool constraint that neat art can come out of. So
Ooh. Yeah fucking sell out.
Yep, rolling in my millions from this podcast.
When we get our millions from this podcast, like we're screwed, because we're gonna sell out in a heartbeat.
100%. If anyone wants to give me, real talk. How much money would it take if someone were to offer you money? Say, like, you can never again do another episode of this podcast. What is the dollar amount? What is the dollar amount that would let you do that?
Oh God. Wait. Let's both say it at the same time. But like, I'm gonna take a second to think about.
Yeah,
the number
I need to think about that too. Okay. I think I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Ready?
Yeah. Three, two, one. $500,000.
Oof. Wildly different.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You're a cheap buyout.
Yeah, I am.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay.
$500,000?
Yeah, $500,000. No, the reason why is because that is the level that it would be like, oh, life, like 100% life-changing amount of money. Anything less than that, I feel like would be super, super, super fucking great. But like, there's a world in which like, I'd be height of privilege to be able to do this, but like, I'd be fine up to that point. But like, it's like, oh, $500,000. Oh shit. Yeah. I could like, yeah.
I feel like I'd take $1,000 and then I'd regret it.
Yeah.
But like, I'd probably still do it.
That's okay. We could just finally start with, like, you make me watch Avatar podcast. You can find us on YouTube, but I'm not going to tell you how, but you can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Google Podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. We are the A-Dub Club in all of those places. You can find us at our website, which is the A-Dub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can also find our topics guide, which is the page that has all the different, like a whole list of different things we've talked about. And you click on that and you see all the different episodes that talk about whatever that thing is that you've selected. You can find us on Twitter at the A-W Club. That's theadub.club. And you can email us if you have any questions that you want us to talk about, if you have any feedback, if you just want to yell at us, at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. And I think that is all of the bullshit that I talk about at the end of the episodes.
If anyone wants to give us $500,000,
You can buy out this podcast. You can buy my silence. And I think that's it.
Cool. A-Dub Club out.
A-Dub Club out. God, remember when we used to do a YouTube show? What were the genre conventions of our?
Oh God,
bad YouTube show.
Panel format.
Yeah.
Be blazed out of our mind.
I wish that would have been fun.
Yeah, that would have been great.
That was a good time. Maybe probably would be a little bit more watchable.
Yeah,
I say that like I haven't watched them in like 4 years, so who knows?
Maybe old us.
Maybe they're not bad, but God. I have very little hope of that being the case. Yeah, yeah.